Okay, this week, Rabbi Sai is Parshas Pikude. Or more precisely, it's Fikude. It's Fikude. Not Pikude. Everyone says Pikude, but it's really Eile Fikude HaMishkan, Mishkan Hoedus. Okay, Rabbi Sai, let's begin. Right, let's discuss an idea from the beginning of the parasha. Okay, let's start with an idea in the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha says, Eile vizada fikudei hamishkan. Word fikudei is a very hard word to translate. The Targum says, min yonei, and that's really what Rashi says. Rashi gives a very interesting hakdama. The parasha zo, Nimnu, it is counted. It means to count. These are the countings. Eila means this. This is the counting.
Counting or accounting?
Counting. You want to say means the accounting. It means the.
I mean, I'm biased. But
No. That's really what it means. It's obviously, they're related to each other. It is. Everyone is held accountable. No, there are no freebies in this world. Powerful mussar is that you don't get away with anything. Every action, every deed, every penny, at the end of the day must be accounted for, and there will be din v'cheshbon, and no one gets away with anything, not even Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was held to the highest standard. There was 1,750 coins, 1,775 coins missing, and Moshe had a hard time making an accounting for those coins, and he was in a lot of trouble. His malchus was on the line until the Yisrael left, until he, I now remember where it is. It was for the hooks to keep up the curtains. Okay, the whole parasha is very, very serious. When you count and something is missing, you're in trouble. And Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi has two comments on the beginning of the parasha, which obviously every word of Rashi is filled with Ruach HaKodesh, and messages in Musar. Beparsha zo nimnu kol mishkalei nidvas hamishkan lekesef ulezahav ulenachoshes. Number one is we're going to count every penny. Every single penny that was donated by Klal Yisrael, gold, silver, and copper. There were 600,000 men over the age of 20. There were many women. The total population was approximately between 2.5 and 3 million people. And every single one of them gave something to the Beis HaMikdash. They had a very big database. A database that was, maybe Oracle was in business then. I don't know which database company was running the show to make an accounting for every single penny that was donated to the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to count. And then Rashi says, that's not the only thing we're counting here in this week's parasha. The Nimnu Kol Kalov. We're also going to count all the different utensils. We're going to count them. We're going to list every single utensil. The Mizbeach, Hazov, Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the Krushim. How many Krushim were there? 48 Krushim. How many Amudim were there for the Pareches? How many hooks were there? The Lulois. Every little thing in the Mishkan is going to be counted.
So
the Kalev. Two counties.
The input of the material, the raw material, and then you have
the output. So Rabbi Chol is saying that these two countings are interrelated. There's the input and the output, like in computers. You give students, this is the data, and I want to see results. I want to see your program should take this data and work it over, manipulate the data, and produce an output. Okay, so you want to say this. Okay, a spreadsheet, fine. Okay, you want there to be an input and an output.
Because everything that was supposed to be made with it was made with it.
So Rabbi Chol is saying very deep. He's saying is that just because you give a donation, and at the end of the day we have all of the kelim, we have to make sure that it translated. There was no.
Nothing is missing.
In the transition between the counting goes on, the transition between the money that was donated to the results. Where did all the money go? We gave you this amount of money, and you produced these items. Is that what it really cost? maybe someone skimmed off some money and they took it for themselves.
But they were required. Hashem required that certain things be made.
Exactly. Right.
So, check off.
It's like someone told me that he went to learn with his friend at night, Friday night, in his house. And they had there on the table this delicious chocolate cake. And the mother said to the boy before she went to sleep, "This is for tomorrow. Don't you dare take a piece of this delicious chocolate cake. Don't you dare." And she said this to her son in front of her son's friend that came to learn with him. "Don't you dare." And the mother went away. They're learning and they're looking at the cake on the table, and the son said, "I don't know what keep it aim. Yeah, Yetzahara. Listen, the Yetzahara wins." He goes into the kitchen, he takes out a very, very sharp knife, takes the whole chocolate cake, he turns it upside down, and he cuts from the bottom this very, very super thin sliver of cake, which accumulated to a nice kazayas, turns it back upside down. My mother will never notice. Okay, so that's the nimnu. Just because I gave you the ingredients and you produced a result, what happened in the middle? Where did all the money go? Okay, that's all right. I want to try to suggest you another right. Then Rashi goes on to something else. Hamishkan, the next Rashi. Shnei Pamim. Remez lemikdash, to the mikdash, shenis mashkein b'shnei churbanin al avonoseim shel Yisrael. The Mishkan, it says in this pasuk, elefikudei hamishkan. Then it says again, mishkan ho'edus. Why is the word mishkan repeated twice to allude? Mishkan is like a mashkein, a play. What is a mashkein? Collateral, security, collateral. We took, Hashem took away the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, as collateral because of the sins of the Jewish people. That's why the word Mishkan relates to the word the temple, the Mikdash, is called the Mishkan, because if we do not behave ourselves, Hashem will take this structure as collateral. Okay, two Rashis. So I want to suggest a drush. Why do you count something? What's the purpose of counting? Yeah, you want to count 1 to 10, whatever you want. So the answer is there are two reasons why you count. And sometimes you count for different reasons. Number one, you count because you want to know what you got. Right. What do we got? How much money do we have? You want to buy a car. You want to buy a motorcycle. You want to go buy a new smartphone. How much money do I have in my pocket? Can I afford to buy what I want to acquire? You count to know what you got. And then there's another reason why you count. You count because you need to know what you do not have. And you see this all the time. Today in marketing, today it's a new technique of all different websites, charity, what are they called? All different types of fundraising websites where the technique is a very powerful technique and it's proven to be extremely successful, where you set a goal. You set a goal, we want to raise $2 million. Of an organization, we want to raise $2 million, and you create hype, and you send out articles, and you make telephone calls, and WhatsApps, and this and that, all these mishigasim, to make it known we're having an intense campaign, 36 hours, and we have someone, every dollar you give is going to be doubled, tripled, quadrupled. You get all the celebrities to come and speak and to perform. You create a momentum. How does it work? The goal is $2 million. And every second they show you where they're up to. Everything is computerized. When someone gives a donation of $18, look at that. If it goes up $36, your money is doubled. Okay, all these funny techniques that they have. So they always count every second of the day during these campaigns. They're counting. What are they counting? How much more do we need? How much do we not have? The goal is $2 million. The goal is $2 million. We only have 1.3. We only have 6 hours left. How are we going to do it? Someone gives a donation. Oh, you keep on counting to know what you don't have. How much more you need. And that's normal. That's the way life is. The person, you count for two different reasons. You count to know what you got, how much we got in the bank. How much do we have? Can we afford to buy a new dining room set? Can we afford to buy a new car? How much do we got? We have to count our assets, our money. And then you count to know what we don't have. We need a goal. We need to have altogether a certain amount. Elu ve'elu, they're both true. When you're counting, you know, you're counting what you got, what you don't have. Rashi says in this parasha, there's two countings. There's a counting of money, and there's a counting of kalim, of the utensils. Now, you can finesse it however you want, but perhaps you can suggest, when it comes to the kalim, that's it. Hashem says, these are the kalim. These are the utensils that are going to be in the Mishkan, nothing more and nothing less. Once you reach the goal, we have in the Beis HaMikdash, these kalim. You have a shulchan, you have a mizbeach, you have to know what you have. This, there's a chashivas in counting all of the kalim because it presents you with a mission. This is what you have and work with it. You have a menorah, you have a shulchan, a mizbeach hazav, mizbeach hanechoshes, an orain, you have a chotzer, you have kroshim. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate your service. Then there's the counting of the gold, the silver, and the nechoshes. When it comes to, every time we have these donations, it's asher nodav liboy. Asher nodav liboy. You can do better. When it comes to the counting of the money, you can never have enough money. Mi sheyesh loy moneh, roitze mosayim. When you're counting money, you always, I'm suggesting this, maybe what I'm saying is not true, but there's two countings here. And in the world that we live in, when you count for two reasons. To appreciate what you have. You have this in Rashi. Rashi says many times, like in the Shrek, he counts Klal Yisrael, like the stars. He just wants to, these are my children. Are all my children present? When a person counts his children, you're not counting what you don't have, it's ridiculous. We have a grown adult, a person is at the age of his life where he's not having children anymore, he's not having more children, and his children, you reflect on your children. You reflect, these are my children, and every so often in your mind, you review, where are all my kids? Where are all they? Where are, how are they doing? Are they okay? You sit back and you reflect over. No one, when someone counts their children, they don't count who I don't have. No such thing. This is what you got. You can't go create what you don't have. When a person reaches a point in time in his life when he's not having more children, and you count your children every so often in your mind, you're coming to review, oh, this is what Hashem gave me. But then there's a counting when, you know, it's just that the purpose of the counting is just more, 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 more. Have I reached my goal? Have I achieved more? And every time more money, then you raise the goal. Our goal is $2 million. We have 1.7. We need $300,000 more. You're counting to know what you don't have to reach a goal. When it comes to the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to get more kalim. There's nothing more to get. We're done. This is it. This is the Mishkan. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. When we're reviewing, when we're counting the kalim, we are sitting back, reflecting, and enjoying, these are our children. This is what we have in life. They are taryag mitzvahs. We're not anticipating 614. We're not anticipating 700, 800, 900. This is what we got. When you count the taryag mitzvahs, it is a satisfaction of counting what you have. When it comes to money, the nature of money is always more, 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 more. Mi Chazal's words. Mi sheyesh loy meya roitze mosayim. A person who has 100, he wants 200. If you have 200, you want 400. 400, you want 800. The concept of counting money more often than not is a counting to set new standards in more, what you don't have. How much are you making this year? Is there growth opportunity so I can make more money next year? When you count money more often than not, the goal is to set new standards of what you want to have in the future and thus what you do not have. Rashi here says there are two countings in this parash. The purpose of this parash is a double counting. We're counting money and we're counting all of the items in the Mishkan. Counting the items in the Mishkan is like a person counting his children. When he's 90 years old and he's thinking about his life and he's thinking about his children, in his mind, he counts his children. This is not count them by number. He reflects upon each one. Achadivas. They're all accounted for. It's not with the goal, oh, I'm going to have more children when I'm 90 years old. That's not what he's thinking. When it comes to money, no, every time you count money, it's for the goal of how much more money can I earn? How can I go further? You're counting what you don't have. When we talk about money in reference to the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't mean money. Of course, it means literally money, but the money represents the principle of like silver, kesef. Chazal often they say the word silver means ki su fin. Kesef comes from a yearning, a desire, love. Gold represents midas hadin. It represents a certain form of service. A person can always be better. A person can always perform better. Davening can always be better with more concentration. Learning can always be with more clarity. When you count money, it's symbolic of reflecting upon your income, on your success in your avoda, which is always in the process of more. Every time you reach one level, you're yearning, okay, where do I go from here? When it comes to counting the kalim, it's more of a reflection of these are the kalim, this is what I got. I cherish the tools that Hashem gave me. Hashem gave me A, B, C, D. It's not going to get better. This is what I got in life. This is what I have, and this is what I have to work with. Rashi then goes on to say, Mishkan, Mishkan. Hashem took away from us two Mishkanes, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. So I want to suggest that these two Rashis are really going hand in hand, and it's telling us something that is alluding to an idea, whether it's what, certainly it's not what Rashi is saying, it's Pashat Shat, but it's alluding to a principle. What was the loss of the Bayis Rishon, and what was the loss of the Bayis Sheni? What exactly was the main difference? Hashem, the Zuchum Bayis Rishon, the Zuchum, define the significance. What, just the same thing twice? Deja vu? The same thing happened twice as we lost the Bayis Sheni. What's the chilek? The chilek is the Bayis Rishon. We lost what we got. We lost prophecy. We lost the real Beis HaMikdash. The Bayis Sheni, Chazal tell us, was not anything near in sanctity what the Bayis Rishon was. It was a skeleton. The Bayis Rishon was an achievement of Klal Yisrael, of success in Jewish history. We start out in Mitzrayim, Avram Avinu becomes a nation of 70 people, goes to Mitzrayim, they become Shishim Riboy, they leave Mitzrayim, they build a base, they enter into Eretz Yisrael, they play around there for 440 years, they build a Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech builds a Beis HaMikdash. This is success. This was an accomplishment. And we lost it. The loss of the Bayis Rishon was a loss of the counting of what you got. The Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Sheni was a different era. It was an era of Chochmah. It was the era where the Tanoim flourished. It was an era where people, their minds were opened up to big hasogos of what you could have. Of personally has to have big hasagas. What we don't have. The Bayis Sheni was a tease to Klal Yisrael. You have a Beis HaMikdash. But there's no Eish Min HaShemayim. You're missing the fire from heaven. You're missing the Luchos. You're missing this miracle. You're missing this. It doesn't just mean something, you're missing these physical objects. It represents a concept that the Bayis Sheni, in a certain way, was better than the Bayis Rishon. You can never say that, you know, we always have a tendency to look at everything that came later as worse. It's not true at all. It's different. Every era in Jewish history is just different. It's not worse. It's not Niskatnu Hadoros. There is a principle Niskatnu Hadoros, but that's not irrelevant to us. Every era has its unique contribution that never happened before. In the Bayis Rishon, you had what you had, and you appreciated it. The Bayis Sheni was an era where people's minds were opened up to great hasogos, great aspirations for even greater things. There was a thirst in the time of the Bayis Sheni, let's bring Mashiach. Let the whole world be fixed. Let the whole world be rectified. Tikkun Olam, Mashiach. And during the time of the Bayis Rishon, I'm just making the suggestion. We don't find Klal Yisrael in a state, a frame of mind where we want more, 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 more. This is what Hashem gave us. We're going to sit back and reflect and enjoy the nachas of what we have. And we're going to count our blessings. But unfortunately, there was no goal for more. When you don't have goals for more, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. The biggest problem today in Jewish education and in life is, what are your goals? What are your goals? You're in high school, you're in Beis Medrash, you're in this seminary, that seminary, you want to get married. What are your goals? Define your aspirations. What don't you have that you are looking to achieve in the next 20 years? What don't you have that you want? Define what you don't have. It's very important to count. So by counting what you have, it allows you to know what you don't have. In the Mishkan, there are two countings. There's a counting to know what you have in the sixth parasha. And there's a counting to know what you don't have. Counting the kalim is to know what you got. Counting money is always a concept of counting, more often than not, is because it's human nature to always want more. Counting money captures the concept of counting to know what you don't have, your aspirations for the future. The Bayis Rishon, the loss of the Bayis Rishon was the loss of what we had. We had something very special. The loss of the Bayis Sheni was the Mashkoin that we lost our appreciation of what we don't have. Because in the era of the Bayis Sheni, it was always a yearning for more, for more, for more. Listen, we were supposed to have great miracles in building the Bayis Sheni, that we even greater than the Bayis Rishon, that never materialized. And the Eish Menashe never came back. There was always a yearning for more, for more, for more. With the Churban Bayis Sheni, Klal Yisrael lost the goals. We don't need anything. Who needs anything? Who cares about anything? We're not yearning anymore for an Eish Min HaShemayim, because we don't even have a Beis HaMikdash. We're not yearning for Mashiach because we don't have what to eat. We're not yearning for anything because Ma Yelid Yom, when you're in lockdown and every day everyone's fighting over this thing and that thing, do like this thing, do like that. You have time to worry about Mashiach. You have Groisa Hasagas. My Hasagas are to pay the bills, just to get through the next day, and someone shouldn't nuke us. That's the level of the Hasagas. There's no Hasagas for great things. That's the Bayish. That was the during the time of the Bayis Sheni, at least Klal Yisrael had a baseline. They were established. And then their focus was, let's count in order to know what we don't have. In other words, you have big hasagas. Our goal is $3 million, $2 million. We're short. We have to hustle. We have to work. We have to, you know, make the calls. to bring in what there are big hasagos. That's the churban bayis sheni. So over here, I'm trying to suggest that these two Rashis, they really go hand in hand. Rashi opens up the parash by telling us, Eile fikude, parasha zoi nimnu money. Kol mishkalei nidvas ha-mishkan lekesef, ule zahav ule nechoyishas, money. And what else? The nimnu. There's a second counting. We're going to take inventory. What do we got here? How many hooks? How many kiroshim? How many adonim? How many amudim? How many loops? How many hooks? How many kalim? V'nimnu kol kalov l'chol avoidosai. What's the difference between these two countings? Well, when you count for two reasons. What do you got? And what don't you have? When it comes to money, the goal is always, how much more money can I have? Mi sheyesh lo imoneh roitze mosayim. It's the human condition. If you don't have that hasaga for 200, then you're not a person. Mi sheyesh lo imoneh roitze mosayim. Everyone loves money. Even those who say they don't like it, they love it. Okay? And when it comes to the kalim, what we're going to have more kalim. That's it. It's finite. This is what you got. You got a shulchan, a menorah, an aron. You have a mikdash. This is what Hashem gave you. Enjoy it. Use it, derive benefit from it. There's accounting what you got, and there's accounting what you don't have. And then Rashi goes on to say, how come it says here Mishkan, Mishkan twice? The Hashem took away the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Rashi here, I'm suggesting, Al Derech Dirush, is alluding, that's the chilek between the loss of the Bayis Rishon that was Nismashkein from Yisrael, and the loss of the Bayis Sheni. The loss of the Bayis Rishon was, we lost what we had. We had something very, very special, and we lost it. And what was the primary loss of the Bayis Sheni? During the Bayis Sheni, we didn't have very much. When they came back to conquer Eretz Yisrael for the second time, they only conquered a fraction of the whole Eretz Yisrael. Always under occupation by the Goyim, always making trouble for us. The Beis HaMikdash was lacking all of the miracles and all of the glory of the olden days. But what was the pleasure that Klal Yisrael had in the Bayis Sheni? It was something very special that they did not even have in the Bayis Rishon. They had goals. They had big goals. They had big hasagos. Very great that we're going to have more. Our goal is the Shechina will return. And when it's going to return, it's going to return Godol Yiyah Kovoid HaBayis HaAcharon Min HaRishon. The glory of the Bayis, the fact that they had less, it triggered in their mind a completely different mindset of Hasogos that were even greater than the Hasogos of the Bayis Rishon. When you have everything, you have no ambitions. You have people that are born into wealth, so what do they do with their lives? They don't have any goals. They have everything. And there are people who are born into poverty, and they see what this world is all about, and their hasogos of success are infinitely greater than the people that are living in the lap of luxury. They have everything you can possibly imagine. The pauper who's walking the streets in tattered clothing has hasogis, I'm going to be a trillionaire. And the millionaire that's sitting in the palace, I have $1 million, what do I need more? I'm happy with my life. I got $1 million, I'm ahead of the game. No one has $1 million, I have $1 million. What do these guys have? They're paupers. The pauper has hasogis to be a trillionaire. Not a millionaire, not a billionaire, a trillionaire. It's a different mindset. Unfortunately, the way the world is, it's almost like mutually exclusive. The Bayis Rishon, we were millionaires. And we were happy. And we lost it. That's the minion of when you count what you got. The Bayis Sheni, Klal Yisrael were paupers. But the Hasagas were to be trillionaires. Those Hasagas of what we don't have. They counted what we don't have. We only have a penny. We have $1 trillion to go, minus one penny to go. And what was the mashkoin Hashem took away the bayasheni? We don't have those hasagas anymore. We couldn't care less. That's even a bigger korban. The korban of the bayasheni was a bigger korban because the hasagas, the goals for the ultimate, that is the ultimate. So we're suggesting over this drush, this accounting, you count twice for two different reasons. And Rashi says the two different countings and talks about the korban by his bayasheni. And they, to a degree, I'm trying to stress, they overlap with one another. Okay, let's go to another idea. And you'll make out of this idea what you want. This week is Shabbos Chazak. Chazak, Chazak, v'nis Chazek. We never needed a Chazak like before. The world is, who knows, Chas v'shalom, this war going on. Who knows? They talk about nukes in the news every day. What does that all mean? Are they just saying words, or are they serious? Scary world, who knows? Chas v'shalom, we need a lot of rachamim. A lot of siyata d'shmai. No one should do something foolish. We need chazak, chazak. It's interesting, the last pasuk upon which you say chazak. Let's try to see if there's a pattern in the chamisha chumshei Torah, a pattern of what the last pasuk talks about. Let's go to Bereishis. You can probably say this word any one of the chayish, the 5 weeks. But since we're saying chazak, let's try to analyze the last pasuk of each one of the five chumashim and see if there is some type of pattern. The end of Vayechi deals with the patira of Yosef Hatzadik. Yosef passes on. Vayomos Yosef. Yosef dies. Ben me'ov v'eser shanim. 110 years, va yachantu oiso, they embalmed him, va yisem bo oroin, and they put him in an oroin, in a casket, b'mitzroyim. End of the parsha. The end of the parsha, end of the Chumash Bereishis deals with a location. A location. Which location? Egypt. The end of Bereishis, Yosef, the leader of the Jewish people. He was the leader of the Jewish people. Where is he? He's in the ground, in a casket, in Egypt. Egypt means a meitzar, a boundary. B'loshon Rabim, yud mem. Whenever you have a word and you want to make the word into plural, you add a yud mem. In between two boundaries, between a rock and a hard place, he is stuck in the mud, ain't going nowhere. And Egypt is no good place to be. The ervas ha'aretz, the worst place to be in Egypt. It's called in possibly ervas aris, promiscuity. It is not a good word. And the word Mitzrayim, the etymology of Mitzrayim is Mitzar, two boundaries. Literally, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You're going nowhere. You're in a location that's not good, and you're not going anywhere. Now we go to our parasha, Parashas Pekudei. Come the last pasuk in Chumash Pekudei. What does it say? Incredible what it says. The last pasuk, when you compare what it says to the part in Bereishis. V'rahu v'nei yishol espenei moyeshek yikoran. What am I? I'm Parash Kisisa. The wrong parasha. Parashas Pekudei. The very last pasuk that we're going to say this week to Chazak. Ki anan Hashem al haMishkan, the cloud of Hashem is on the Mishkan. Yoimam by day, the eish fire tia laila bo le'ene chol beis Yisrael. There was an anan by day, and there was an eish at night, covering the Mishkan, guarding it. Le'ene in the presence lechol beis Yisrael, bechol masehem, wherever they traveled. Wow, look at that. Now we're on the move. The end of Bereishis, we're in between the boundaries. We're stuck in the mud. We're not going anywhere. They put him in a casket in Egypt. The dead don't move. At least they're not supposed to, right? They're in one location. End of Chumash Shemos, Klal Yisrael is traveling. We're on the, where are we going? We're going nowhere. We're going in circles, but we're moving. At least we're moving. At least we're moving. We're in the desert, in the middle of Saudi Arabia. roaming around desert in sandstorms, but we're moving, we're in motion. That's an achievement. Now let's go to the end of Vayikra. Parshas Lichu Kosai. We come to Parshas Lichu Kosai. Here we are. Last pasuk. Eile hamitzvos. Chol chumash vayikra. It's all about korbanos and many other mitzvos. Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe el b'nei Yisrael behar Sinai. Another location. Another location. The focus is Har Sinai. Now I know it's not. It sounds like it's not in order because at the end of Shemos, when it says B'chol Maaseihem, Maaseihem is you know that was after Har Sinai, but you know, don't confuse me with the facts. Let's focus on the last words of the pasuk to see a development. So far we have three, going nowhere. Is stuck. Next, Chumash, you're on the move. And who's taking you by the hand? Hashem is taking you by the hand. He's taking you by the hand. He's traveling with you. At night there's an ash, by day there's a cloud. Number three, now we're in a new location. We're not in Egypt. We've reached a holy place, Har Sinai, Kabbalah Sator. That's a very good location to be found in Har Sinai. And this came through, we've journeyed from Egypt, we've traveled the Yad Hashem to Har Sinai Mekabel the Torah. Now we go to Bamidbar. We come to the end of Bamidbar, the last pasuk of Bamidbar. And where do we find ourselves? Matos Masei. Eile hamitzvos, very similar. Hamitzvos v'hamishpatim, and the mishpatim asher tziv Hashem b'yad Moshe el b'nei Yisrael be'arvos moyav al Yarden Yerecho. We learned this morning about Yarden Yerecho. Yerichoi. We've now changed locations. Mitzrayim, we traveled to Har Sinai, and now from Har Sinai, we're just about on the entrance to Eretz Yisrael. It's a journey taking place. A journey. Yarden Arvoy Smoyov overlooking Yarden Yerech. Journey. Now we come to the most difficult of them all. We come to the end of the Torah. Bekiras Moshe. Rezois HaBracha. And how does Rezois HaBracha end? How does Rezois HaBracha end? Let's see something over here. Okay. First of all, there are really two ends. There are really two ends to the Torah. I mean, is the real end of the Torah? Okay, the real end of the Torah is Ulchol Hayor HaChazaka Asher Asa Moshe Le'enei Ulchol Amar Asher Asa Moshe Le'enei Kol Yisrael. But there's really another end. The other end is the end of the Shira. The end of the Shira is Ashrecho Yisrael Micha Moicha Am Noisha BaHashem Mogein Ezrecha V'Asher Cherev Ga'avosecha V'Yikochashu Oyevechelach V'Atod. You, Klal Yisrael, al bomo semo tidroch. You will stand, you will tread upon the highest place, upon their highest place. Now, that's not really the end, because then it goes on, vayal Moshe, then we discuss the petir of Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Okay, so al derech drush, we'll go to the real end in 1 second, but al derech drush, in one we know that the last eight psukim were not written by Moshe. It was written by Moshe Bedema. It was a little bit different. This is not the last eight psukim either. But in a certain sense, the very end of the Torah, before we get to the story of Petiras Moshe, the sign of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a parasha stuma. This is a parasha stuma. Before you come to the very, very end, is again a location. If we had the right to say that the Torah to a degree ends with this, and then the last section is like an epilogue, it's just like, you know, it's a closing, you know, the packaging to close off the sefer. It's not a coincidence that the end of the narrative of the Torah, the end of the Torah's message before the Petir of Moshe Rabbeinu is, "You Klal Yisrael al Bamosemoy, upon their high point." Who is their high point? Your enemies, or okay, you can interpret it in different ways, but let's assume it means upon the highest location in this world you will tread, and that's also a location. And what is that location? The highest place, Chazal say, we don't know what this means exactly, that Yerushalayim is the highest point in the world. The Beis HaMikdash represents the highest mountain. Okay, obviously, we know that it does not have to be taken literally, but it represents in spirituality the high point, a location. And thus, if we were to argue that the last perek of the Torah, when it then begins, Vayal Moshe Me'arvas Moyev Al Har Nevoi Resh HaPiska, and he looks upon the land and he dies, Vayamasha Moshe, and he's buried, if we would be given the license to look at that as like the packaging, the end of the Torah, of course it's sacred Kodesh Kodashim, then it's very interesting how the end of each Chumash presents a very specific location. We go from Mitzrayim to L'chol Ma'aseihem, to their travels, travel the world. And after we travel the world, where do we come to? We come to Har Sinai. And then from Har Sinai, we go to Eretz Yisrael, which is to Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Bomo Seimo. It's the highest place of...
You have to reach the
Yarden. I skipped. I'm sorry. I'm whole call me. The Yarden to the
progressing.
It is a progression of travel. We start out in the depths of nothing. Egypt is the Erva Soaretz. The word Mitzrayim in and of itself represents you're trapped. You're trapped between a rock and a hard place. Mitzar is a boundary. It is a wall. There are two walls, Yud Mem, Belushan Rabim. You're stuck in between two boundaries. There's nowhere to go. Shemois, we're traveling. Who is taking us by the hand in our travels? Hashem. Next Chumash, where does he take us to? He takes us to Har Sinai. Next Chumash, he then takes us from Har Sinai to the entrance point, to Eretz Yisrael, to Yarden Yerechai, overlooking Yarden Yerechai. And then the next Chumash ends off, the Ata al Bamosemu, Tidroch, he takes us in to Eretz Yisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Har HaBayis, the highest, the pinnacle of this world, the Mokum of the Hashuah Sashchina. Now that's a little bit of a drush, because I'm not going to the very last pasuk of the Torah, I'm going to the end of the Torah's message. Then there's a little bit of a narrative telling us how Moshe Rabbeinu, he leaves this world. We have a few psukim. So let's then go on another Mahalich, and go until the very, very end. Ulechol hayor hachazak, ulechol hamoyra hagadol, asher osa Moshe, le'enei kol Yisrael. So what does that mean? So Rashi tells us, what is this whole thing? Ulechol hayor hachazak, shekibul es atar beluchot shebiyadai, ulechol hamoyra hagadol, nisim hagavura shebimidbar hagadol v'hanoyra. We're going back to Har Sinai. And then we're going back to the nisim v'gavurais of the midbar, getting all the way up to Yarden Yerechai. Le'enei kol Yisrael, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He shattered the luchas. He did not take us in. Moshe Rabbeinu, he stops here. He does not go, Shenos libo lishbor ha'luchas le'enei'em, Shenemar, v'ashabreim le'enei'chem, Hiskima das HaKadosh Baruch Hu ledato shnema asher shibarta yitsha koichacha asher shibarta. It's like a letdown. So, if we're going to take the last pasuk of the Torah to be indeed the last pasuk, let me say it like this. Really, if Klal Yisrael did not worship the Egel, what would have been the last pasuk of the Torah? What would have been? It would have been the Atah al Bamosemo Tidroch. That was the goal. Bioitziacha esa'om mitzrayim ta'avdun esu elokim al hohor hazeh. When Moshe said to Hashem, what's the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? He said, the purpose is to take them in Mitzrayim, to bring to Eretz Yisrael, to build the Beis HaMikdash. So if the plan would have gone according, everything would have gone according to the plan, the last pasuk would indeed have been the Ata al Bamosemo Tidroich. But what happened? Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, and the plans were changed. And Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to take them into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why we have to have this entire last parak in the end of the Torah of Vayal Moshe. Moshe goes up to Shammai, goes up to the mountain, he looks at Eretz Yisrael, he sees the place that he's not going. Moshe at the end of the Torah is shown the Bama, the highest location in the world, which he yearned to tread upon. And Hashem said to him, sorry, you can't go there. You cannot go there. You cannot lead the people to this Bama that you have so much yearned for, Yata al Bamasim Tidroch, because of the Chedo Egel. And why not? Because of the Egel, which is captured in the Shaviras Haluchas. So in truth, the last Pasuk of the Torah represents the Mokoim that we did not make it to. We did not make it to that destination. That still lingers on. That is what we're still yearning for. The Chamisha Chumshei Torah climax at breakpoints in a journey. We're on a journey. We start out Bein Min HaMeitzar Korosiko Mitzrayim. We journey in the desert. We come to Har Sinai. We makabel the Torah. From there we go to the entrance of Eretz Yisrael. And it's expected that we then enter into Eretz Yisrael to witness, to tread upon the highest place, V'ata al Bamosemo Tidroich. You step on a location. It's a location. And that should have been the end. But the pasuk, the Torah has to say, Rachmanos l'tzlan, because you messed up, you worship the Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu had no choice but to shatter the Luchos. And with the shattering of the Luchos came the consequences, the trickle-down effect that Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to enter into the land and reach the Bamosemo Tidroch. And that remains for you to do. And that's why we say, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, at the end of each one of the five Chumashim. Because why do you say each one of the five Chumashim? Say it at the end. Why are you saying Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek at each one of the five breakpoints? The answer is because the goal is, these are the steps. Min HaMeitzar, to travel to Har Sinai, to Eretz Yisrael, and then to the entrance point, and then into Eretz Yisrael. And we blew it. We blew it. We didn't make it to number five. We didn't make it that the Ata al Bamosemo Tidroch could be the last pasuk in the Torah. And the Torah explains why at the very end. You know why? Because you messed up, because you worshipped the Egel and Moshe, the Shadr of the Luchos, and the sanctity departed in Klal Yisrael, and they were unable to make it to the last point. You messed up. And every time we come to the end, one of these breakpoints in this five-part plan, we have Agmas Nefesh. Agmas Nefesh, knowing that the Chei to Egel, it lingers. It lingers, and we need to be mechazek ourselves to do teshuvah, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. So by the time we get to the end of Chumash Devarim, it should be different. we should be in a time of history where it will be fulfilled, the atah al b'masemo tidreich. We have to acknowledge that if you sing chazak chazak v'nis chazek 5 times a year, there's a relationship between these 5 events. It's not, okay, just for fun, we say chazak chazak. There's a relationship. So study the relationship. The relationship clearly is describing a journey from nowhere to b'masemo tidreich. And everything was going good until we made a mistake. And as we go through the parashos, we are reliving the experience. And it is our mission to rectify our error. And through that chizuk that we put in ourselves to make this rectification, we will merit the ultimate, the atah al b'masemo tidreich. All right, I just want to end with a last thought to conclude this parasha. And that is, we have in this parasha the Kohen Gadol. We have the Kohen Gadol in his full glory. He wears on his head the tzitz, and he wears the mitznefes. And in between the tzitz and the mitznefes, Rashi in this week's parasha elaborates very, very much. There are not that many Rashis in this parasha. It's a very long Rashi elaborating about the tefillin that are in between the tzitz and the mitznefes. And then on the tzitz, Rashi has such a long discussion about the psil techeles, this cord of techeles which keeps the tzitz in position. And it goes over his head like a keser. What is this all about? What do they all have in common? There are almost really 4 different items that are on the head of the Kohen Gadol. All of the 4 items are one thing. They're all about Yiras Shamayim. On the tzitz, it is begoloi, the word Kodesh LaHashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei is staring right at you. On top of that are the tefillin. And the Gemara says, in the tefillin, Hashem's name appears 21 times in the tefillin. And the Gemara, what's the difference between the tefillin and the tzitz? The only difference is that in the tefillin, Hashem's name is hidden. It's in concealment. The Kohen wears a hat. What's the purpose of wearing a hat? Yiras Shamayim. Cover your head. Does Hashem's name appear on the hat? No. What goes on top of the hat? A psil techeles. What's techeles? You have tzitzis. Ure'isem oiso u'zechartem is called mitzvos Hashem va'asisem oisam. The Gemara says that techeles is doime to the yam, the color of the sea. And the color of the sea is similar to the color of heaven. And the color of heaven is similar to the kisei ha'kavod. When you see the techeles, you get scared. You see the kisei ha'kavod. So what do you have? You have all different madregos of Yiras Shamayim. Hashem's name is steering right in front of you, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then you have another madrego where Hashem's name, he's not steering in front of you, but it's hidden, it's concealed, a different type of Yiras Shamayim. And then you have a hat, which is a tool to instill upon you Yiras Shamayim. Cover your head, so you'll be a Yorei Shamayim. The Gemara says, cover your head, that's why we all wear a yarmulke. Cover your head, so you should be a Yorei Shamayim. And on top of the mitznefes was the psil techeles, the very elaborate band of techeles, which the pasuk says, what is techeles? Remember in your mind Hashem. Now, you notice we're going from something open to more subtle. The lowest is the tzitz. Hashem's name is right in front of you. Then Hashem's name is there, but it's hidden. Then you're doing something physical. Hashem's name is not here. You're doing an act of putting a hat on your head to fear Hashem. And then it's in the mind. You look at the blue color, it's all in the mind. You think about the color of Techeles, which takes you to the Kisei HaKavod. four different steps of Yira Shamayim. Why is this so important? Well, there's a war going on today. People are dying. People are dying. People are being tortured. People are terrified. And the trickle-down effect of this war affects every living person in this world. Already the price of gasoline is through the roof, and no one knows how this can escalate into what could happen. People can make foolish mistakes, and one thing can lead to another. It's a very dangerous time. It's an Eis Milchama. And it doesn't seem anyone has clarity of what's really going on. You can sit the whole day and read and watch and talk about it, and at the end of the day, everyone is still confused. What is really going on? What is this all about? And there's just so much information, but everyone has a different spin on it. Bottom line is, it's no good. It's no good. And there's nothing better for this world than peace. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, what do we say Mitzvah Shabbos? Avinu Malkeinu, Hochel Oleinu Hayomim Haboim L'Sholoi. L'Sholoi. You mispalel every Mitzvah Shabbos in the most explicit way. In Ato Chonan Tanu, Hochel Oleinu Hayomim Haboim L'Sholoim. What is peace? It goes on to say, you know what peace is? Yirah Shemayim. The definition of peace is Chasuchim Mikol Chet Uminukim Mikol Ovoin Umidubokin B'Yirah Secho. The root of Sholoim, of peace, is in Yirah Shemayim. It's explicitly taught to us in the Nusach HaTfilah every Mitzvah Shabbos. Hochel Oleinu Hayomim Haboim Likraseinu L'Sholoim. What is peace? Chasuchim Mikol Ovoin Uminukim This week's parasha, Rashi goes to bat. He goes to town, describing the Kohen Gadol, the leader of Klal Yisrael in all his glory. And when Rashi describes the leader of Klal Yisrael in his full glory, he's obsessed with what his head looks like. And he tells us, on his head, there are four levels. Four layers. There's the tzitz, the tefillin, the hat, and the akeser of techeles. Rashi's words, it's a keser, a crown of techeles comes on the very top, holding the tzitz in place. Each one of these things is Yirah Shemayim. Yirah Shemayim begolui, Yirah Shemayim behester, the tefillin, Yirah Shemayim in doing things, external things to influence us. And at the top, the keser, make sure it all seeps into your head. Remember the Kisya Kavod. If we, Klal Yisrael, would be Marbe in Yirah Shemayim, there is no doubt the cosmic effect that would influence Lev Melachim B'Yad Hashem would bring Sholem to this world. So it may taka be Avinu Malkeinu Al Bracha Hochel Aleinu Hayomim Haboim Likraseinu L'Sholem. The Sholem should come from the Kohen Gadol, the Lev of Klal Yisrael. Chazak Chazak V'Nis Chazek. Have a wonderful Shabbos.